Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal, and we're joined by Peter Zion, a geopolitical expert that we've had on the show before, and we're going to continue our conversation, Faisal, around, you know, what's happening with respect to the United States and some of the changing winds, the political environment, and the, you know, the election that we've got coming up. But ultimately, we have to figure out how does this affect the rest of the world, and how does it affect us here in Canada?
Let me ask Peter this question here, because Peter's on the show with us. And Peter, I'd like your take on each of the candidates. Let's go with the incumbent, and then we'll call him the challenger. And then what do you think's going to happen? Who's going to win?
My bet is on Biden at present, not that I really like the guy. In fact, I haven't even decided who I'm going to vote for. But Trump has mismanaged the issues that the American public cares about in the short term, most notably the coronavirus crisis. And as a result, he's considerably further behind than he should be. Had this election happened a year ago, he would have walked away with it, but that's just how it is. And so Trump, the only thing that might save Trump is if that Biden completely fumbles the debates. There's a lot of concern among political circles that Biden's mind has started to go. And especially in the last 6 months, he has not appeared mentally healthy. He's stumbled over his words. He's had problems with the teleprompter. And if that is something more than nerves, or if that is something more than tech issues, if that really is what's going on with Biden, and it shows on stage, he will fail. But it is right now his to lose.
So let's go down. If you're right and Biden wins, what happens to the United States, and what happens to, let's pick on Canada?
Well, for the United States, if Biden does what he says he is going to do, which is an open question since Biden's mind changes every year or two on what his political beliefs are, he says the first thing is going to be dealing with the coronavirus crisis. That'll take a minimum of 3 months. Between the vaccine and changing the public health system, that's not something you do overnight. The second thing is he wants to put through a series of legal reforms to prevent corruption that are basically designed to Trump-proof future elections. That's a minimum of 3 months. So we're already getting past the summer vacation and well into the third quarter, probably almost to the fourth quarter. Actually, let me change that. We are going to get to the fourth quarter before he can really have any attention to do anything else. And all of this assumes that the Senate flips too, and that's that's a tall order. So it's more likely we're going to have more of the same with political stagnation. The Democrats will control the White House and the House of Representatives, but they will fail to control the Senate, and that means there's only so much that Biden can do. He'll be in the same position that Trump is in. Canada's situation is both the very best and the very worst. It all depends upon your political leanings. Let's start with the worst. The United States is going a little cuckoo right now because of its political realignments. It's awkward for anyone who has to deal with the United States, and Canada has no choice. It's not like Canada can move, and it's very difficult to redirect Canadian exports to anywhere except for south. Especially since the United States is abandoning the global system, especially since the Chinese are turning inward. Basically, all of those diversification options that Canada keeps talking about, they're going to completely go belly up, and it's going to be the U.S. and only the U.S. So that's kind of the worst. You have no choice but to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So let's talk the best. The hard work's already done. I mean, say what you will about Trudeau's negotiating style. Say what you will about Chrystia Freeland and how she was able to basically get steamrolled by the Trump administration in NAFTA talks. It's done. And Canada came out in a better position in the NAFTA 2 talks than it had any right to expect. And that's because, ironically, of internal political politics in the United States. Nancy Pelosi forced the Trump administration to give Canada certain concessions. And for you, that is great. And it means that moving forward in this era of deglobalization we're going into, Canada has privileged access to the only market that's stable and the only market that's growing and the only market that matters. That's great. And something to keep in mind about finance. People save more as they get older until the moment of retirement. And that moment of retirement for the baby boomers around the world is coming very, very soon. It's less than 2 years away. So we know we're going to have a bust in capital availability, supply and demand. If there's less supply, demand's probably going to go up, and your remuneration for it's going to change. It's going to improve. Something to consider. There's been so much money for the last 10 years that people are pouring all their money in all of these ridiculous funds that make no sense. So, like, take, for example, developing countries. They're all put together. So Mexico and China and India and Brazil and Argentina and Poland are all in the same bucket. That's asinine. Those countries, those economies have nothing to do with each other. But if you suddenly reduce the amount of available capital by three quarters, all of a sudden dumb investment plays like that will fall away. And you're going to be able to pick country by country by country. And because Canada is in NAFTA, Canada has privileged access to one of the few developing markets that actually looks really good moving forward, and that's Mexico. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and pour all the money you have into Mexican bond and stock markets. They have a long way to go to mature to be able to accept that investment in a meaningful way. But Canada is very well set up to function into this new world that we're going into.
Let's expand that then from North America to, say, Europe, and they've got their own unique set of circumstances. Your thoughts there? In the new order?
Well, because of the demographic collapse in Europe, the only way the European system is holding together is by having massive exports to the rest of the world. They're in a spat with the Russians right now that is going to get very, very dangerous. So that market's gone. The Chinese are closing their doors because they fear a political upheaval at home, and closing themselves off from the world is one way to solve that problem. So that market's gone. And the NAFTA system is basically closing its doors to everybody. So that market's gone. So the Europeans have North Africa, and that's it, and that's not enough. So you basically have the European Union that, because of its age structure, there aren't enough young people to purchase things, is turning into an export union, just as global exports are going away. So the question is whether the European Union can function without the economic glue that has always been the basis. And I don't think that's very likely. I think a European breakup is not too far in the future. Whether that will lead to internal conflicts, well, there's a lot of things that have to happen between here and there, a lot of things that have to go wrong for that to be the outcome. But the idea that an integrated supply chain system in Europe that services markets beyond Europe, that's no longer viable.
Peter, you mentioned the word breakup, and you're talking to Canadians here, and especially in Alberta. And the conversation that we had last time you were on the show, that there could be a potential of what we call it a Wexit, yeah. Where the West is going to separate from the East. Given where we are now, do you still feel that that's a possibility?
It's definitely a possibility. I think that because of coronavirus and because of the energy collapse, there's a little bit more sympathy in Eastern Canada for the situation in Western Canada. I don't overplay that. I said a little more. And there has been a little bit of assistance that's come out, for example, health issues, because it's necessary. And I think that has given a little bit of fuel to the people who really didn't like the situation but really didn't want to pull the cord and leave. Something to consider, though. U.S. shale oil output will be back to pre-COVID levels within a month. We're almost there. And the U.S. refining complex is retooling itself very aggressively to run on the sort of light sweet crude that comes out of shale, as opposed to the heavy sour that comes out of Alberta, because it's Alberta and other suppliers just are not viewed as reliable enough now. So your window for this is closing. And if a decision is not clearly made one way or another, Alberta really will have the worst of all worlds. Its primary exports will go away. The rest of the Canadian system will basically be importing green energy from the United States, where it's easier to produce. And the financial position that you have been for the last 20 years will suffer. I'm not saying that you should pull the cord and go. You've got to make that decision based on your own math. I'm saying that the macroeconomic environment that has allowed Alberta to thrive for the last 30 years is changing very dramatically, and it's not Alberta's fault, and there's nothing that Alberta can do to stop it.
Well, on that sour note, Peter, we've got to leave it there. I want to thank you very much, as always, for your insights. Not just locally, but globally as well, and helping us take some of these big macro issues and put them in perspective. We appreciate you joining us today.
Not a problem.
We've been joined by Peter Zion, who's a geopolitical expert and contributor to our show. My friend, this is the environment that we're in right now. But you know what? Things change. And so it's not just about today. It's about the next 30 years of retirement that we have to get through.
That's right. And we're going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement through those next 30 years on Tuesday, October 20th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
With market volatility going higher and fears that equity markets could plunge, is your retirement at risk here? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.